Great to have you company wherever you're listening. Sean Higgins from North Melbourne to join us a little bit later on in the program. And Adelaide's Tom Lynch also to have a chat. But the voice of football in Australia for a long time has been Simon Hill, and he's part of the SEN team now, Simon Hill, for Tobin Brothers Funerals, celebrating lives for over 85 years. Tobin Brothers Funerals, celebrating lives, and you know where to find them. Simon joins us. Welcome to you, Simon. Great to have you back on the program.
Good to be with you, Dwayne. How are you, mate?
I'm good. You caused a bit of discussion on the program last week with the chat we had, so it was nice to have you on and to probe a few things in the world of the round ball as opposed to the world of our strangely shaped ball. There's been a bit to talk about this week as well, and a story emanating today about the Central Coast Mariners maybe being up for grabs for someone with a big checkbook and maybe the opportunity for them to take the license elsewhere. What are you hearing there?
Well, we heard this morning that Mike Charlesworth, who's been in charge of the club for around about 7 or 8 years, has decided that he will be handing back his license over the coming days and weeks. I think that's probably no surprise to a lot of people within the world of association football. He's clearly struggled to keep pace in terms of investment with the bigger clubs in the competition. They've won 3 consecutive wooden spoons. I think 4 out of the last 5, actually, they've finished bottom. And I think there's a lot of frustration on the Central Coast from the Mariners fans that they haven't been able to keep up, particularly as in the early days of Charlesworth's reign. Of course, they won the championship itself in 2013 under Graham Arnold, but they haven't been able to sustain that. And Charlesworth has long been looking for additional investors to come in and help him sort of share the burden, really, of keeping afloat at a provincial football club. He hasn't been able to do that so far, but it appears as, you know, either he's run out of money or run out of patience or both, and has indicated that he's going to hand the license back. Now, whether you know, the FFA can find new investors is very much open to question, particularly in the current climate when, you know, money is so tight and businesses are struggling. So there's a big question mark over the future of the Mariners. Obviously, I hope it gets resolved because even though they're only 15 years old, they've made a huge contribution to the competition. And they are the only professional sporting club on the central coast of New South Wales. They've got a great stadium and they've got facilities, a training ground. I think there's a hotel that's been built next to that training facility as well. So that, you know, there's a lot of attractive things there for a potential investor, but it's one thing saying that; it's quite another actually getting somebody to dip their hand in their pocket.
So, what about an investor who might want to take that license elsewhere?
Hmm. Well, look, it could happen. I mean, you know, personally, I'm a traditionalist. I think once you've established a sporting club in a particular market, which obviously they, you know, the Central Coast has done. I don't think it's a good look, particularly to up sticks and take it elsewhere. I know it happens, particularly in America, with their clubs over there. It happened once in the UK with Wimbledon, which moved to Milton Keynes many years ago and caused such a massive rift in the football community that they actually went away and formed a Phoenix club, a breakaway club called AFC Wimbledon. So I wouldn't like to see that. I mean, I think it's pretty easy to say that, you know, we need a club, for example, in Canberra, maybe one in Tasmania, maybe one in regional Queensland. But to me, that shouldn't mean at the expense of the Central Coast Mariners. But unfortunately, that's not my decision to make or take.
It's the FFA's decision. So what have you got an inkling as to their thinking, whether they don't mind the idea? Then I wouldn't mind you giving me an out of 10 for the way soccer's been run in this country for the last decade, I suppose, Simon, because they've got a pretty big decision to make here, whether they stick with or allow someone to take it elsewhere.
Let's take the second part of your question first. Over the last decade, I think we can talk about the last 40, 50 years, to be honest, and it hasn't been pretty. We had a period when the new board came in back in 2003-04, I think it was, and we had a sustained period of growth and innovation and entrepreneurial activity under Frank Lowy that was very refreshing and very, very successful. Unfortunately, that started to wane around probably around 2010, 11, 12. Obviously started with the ruinous World Cup bid for 2022, which didn't help matters. And then the board became, or certainly the FFA became, at loggerheads with the clubs. And that's currently led to our present situation, you know, where we're essentially trying to start again almost from ground zero. So, you know, the code in this country, unfortunately, has a history of being very poorly run. We're the biggest code in terms of participation, quite clearly, by some distance. But we haven't been able to convert that into a successful professional game. And that has been the challenge for a long time. So in terms of what the FFA are thinking about the Mariners, obviously this news is very fresh. I know that there have been moves in the past, potentially to move the Mariners away. There was some talk a while back, I think, of South Melbourne actually buying the license. There was also talk of them relocating to Canberra. I would imagine all those things would resurface once again. All I can do really from my own point of view is restate my desire that the Mariners stay in Gosford, because that's their home. And all right, it's only 15 years history, but it's 15 years more than any new franchise. And we have to build on that and make these clubs places to go and become part of sporting habits over the next generations. That's really what we're doing now with the A-League.
And the FFA's got a big decision to make when it comes to the A-League salary cap and player conditions going forward. There's plenty of good other leagues around the world right now just sniffing around our good players, I presume.
Yeah, of course there is. And look, we want that. That's healthy for our national teams and our competition, because it shows that we're producing good players. So whilst people tend to look at this as a negative, all our best players are going overseas, that's part of the A-League's role, is to be that production line. And you know, you can make money through a transfer system that we have in football if you do it right. I mean, the Mariners are a great example of this, by the way. Back in the day, if you remember, they sold players like Matty Ryan and Miller Jedinak overseas and made an awful lot of money, which they then reinvested in youth development and bring through the next generation. That's how the football ecosystem works as a global sport. So that's not necessarily a problem, providing we're still producing the next generation of talent. Obviously, that's a much bigger topic, and we probably need about a five-hour conversation. But you know, we still have that raw talent here, and we're going to have it because we have the sheer weight of numbers. We have 2 million participants, so you know, it's a sheer numbers game. We're going to have some talent coming through every year, and that's great.
FA Cup final, Arsenal had a win, and we talked about it a bit last week. Were you happy with the quality of the contest?
Well, I think Arsenal fans will be. They won their 14th FA Cup, and I thought they were deserving winners on the day. Chelsea had, you know, a couple of issues with injuries. They lost Christian Pulisic, and then, of course, lost Kovacic to a red card as well, which didn't help their cause. But Arsenal have shown signs, certainly in the last 3 or 4 weeks. They've beaten Man City, they've beaten Liverpool, now they've beaten Chelsea, and they've won a trophy in Mikel Arteta's first season. So I think things are on the up for Arsenal. The key for them is to keep their important players. And I'm talking specifically of Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, who scored the 2 goals in the cup final at Wembley. He's a great player and has got a terrific record of scoring lots of goals. There's talk he might go elsewhere. If Arsenal are seriously going to challenge not just the top four next season, but maybe for the Premier League title itself, although that might be a wee bit too early, they've got to stick hold of the likes of Aubameyang. And I think they'll do everything they can to try and keep him.
And you mentioned last week also on the program that you thought that there'll be teams coming at Sydney FC pretty hard, and Melbourne City was reasonably well placed to do that.
Yeah, their first game back since the break for the coronavirus, and I thought they looked very sharp, very hungry against Sydney FC. Jamie McLaren, of course, they've got a natural goal scorer, which always helps. I was also impressed with Lockie Wales, who played on the right-hand side of the attack. And overall, they were very structured, very organised, and they did a job on Sydney FC, who've now lost back-to-back games, I think only for the second time in the last 4 years. So maybe just plants a little seed of doubt in their mind going into the finals. Melbourne City look well placed. They're very well coached by the Frenchman Eric Mombert, and if they can finish second, that would represent their highest ever finish. And I know my colleague on the podcast that I do, Zeljko Kalac, has tipped them to win the whole thing. So I don't know whether that's a kiss of death, but Yeah, I think they've got a good chance of ending their long wait, at least to play in a grand final. They've been there or thereabouts for a few years. And really, with the squad they've got this year, they should do it, at least get to that big showdown.
And Harry Kewell continues to try and enhance his coaching resume.
Yeah, he's just been appointed as the new manager of Oldham Athletic in the northwest of England. Harry's been waiting for a job. His last employment was with Notts County, which didn't last too long. It's a league he knows well. It's League Two. It's the fourth tier of English football, so it's a long way down the pyramid. But he did particularly well in his first managerial stint in that league with Crawley Town a few years ago now. And he's trying to rebuild his resume, and I think this is a good chance for him, providing he's given both the time and the resources to invest. And already I see he's made three signings in the first 24 hours of the job, so he's not wasted any time. And from an Australian point of view, you know, obviously we wish Harry well. It's great to see our coaches doing good things overseas, flying the flag. Ange Postecoglou has done it in Japan. Joe Montemurro's doing it with the Arsenal ladies, won the title there in England last year. And hopefully Harry can lift Oldham up the leagues and, you know, maybe get a chance at a bigger club in the future.
And can't let you go without asking a question about Melbourne Victory. They've hit a rockier road than they have for quite a long time.
Yeah, and they were beaten last night by the Mariners, which, you know, at the moment is almost the ultimate ignominy because they're bottom of the pile. It's been a tough old season for Victory. And obviously, they had no chance of making the finals once the league resumed post-coronavirus. So I think the good thing to be taken out of this little spell, it's certainly not the results, but Grant Bredner is giving debuts to the likes of Aaron Anderson and Laurie Latanzio. And they're finally getting opportunities. So I think that augurs well for next season. This year really is just a bit of a write-off. And obviously the big question for Victory is the identity of the new coach. I've seen the name of Trionos Delas that's been mentioned in dispatches, the former Greek international. Whether he's their man or not, I don't know. But seems clear they need a full rebuild again during the off-season because Victory really, they shouldn't be down in 10th place. They're too big a club for that. But that's the reality. That's where they are at the moment.
And is football in Australia a bit like basketball in Australia in that the passion of the fans to attend is so massive? It's not quite there as passionate to watch it on TV, but the passion to attend is so massive that it's one of the sports that's being hit hardest by the inability to have the full stadiums rocking?
That's an interesting point. Yeah, I guess to a certain extent. I mean, you know, all the codes are missing having full stadiums or at least, you know, fuller stadiums at the moment. And I think probably one of the bigger problems for our clubs, given that, you know, our TV deal is nowhere near as lucrative as, say, AFL or NRL, is that you're not getting that money through the gates. You know, a lot of clubs still rely on that money, not necessarily just to survive, but certainly to, you know, to bolster their finances. So it's tough for all our clubs at the moment. Having said that, you know, our attendances at the stadiums have dipped a little bit in the last 2 or 3 years, and it's part of the challenge, certainly for next season, if fans are allowed back in, for the clubs to promote the game better and, you know, form that connection again with their communities. A few years ago, we had a league that was really flying, and unfortunately, we sort of self-destructed a little bit, again, for reasons that would take probably about 3 hours to go into, but the challenge is there for the clubs when we reconvene in December. They've got to reconnect with their fan bases, reconnect with their communities, get the active fans back up and running and create the sort of tribal atmosphere that really is unique to our code in this country.
Got quite a few active fans coming through on the text machine right now supporting your love of the active fans. So we'll talk about that at some stage and give you more time to expand on it. Simon, great to have a chat to you and we'll do it on a regular basis. You're with us every week. So we'll talk next week.
Pleasure, Dwayne. Have a great week, mate.
Simon Hill, the voice of football in Australia for Tobin Brothers Funerals, celebrating lives. And don't be afraid to call if you're a soccer fan. 1-300-736-736. We'll talk your sport anytime you want to jump on the line. That's the promise with Midday Madness. The open line is there. You call, you get on. We'll take a break. Plenty to come.